Good afternoon. Moving on to case file LU14-250142DZ. Jeff Mitchum will be staff presenting the project.
Lights, please. Thank you. So in addition to staff report, I handed out DAR comments, a summary of your comments from December 18th. That was a DAR on December 4th. So we are in the Central City Plan District, downtown sub-district, and our guidelines are the Central City Fundamentals. The site is a half block bounded by Southwest 2nd Avenue on the east, Columbia on the south, Jefferson on the north, shade over 20,000 square feet, drops about 5 feet northeast. It's currently vacant. It's in a very multimodal context with city bikeways and local service walkways on all three sides. It's in the downtown PED district. Max is two blocks west on 5th and bus high frequency, both Jefferson and Columbia. Lots of open space context to speak of, the waterfront park, Keller Fountain, which is the northern terminus of the Halperin sequence, is just to the south west. Terry Shrunk Plaza, and then in Chapman and Lounsdale Squares are to the north. It's solidly central commercial with a design overlay. Base FAR is 9-1. It sits kind of a step down from 12-1 to the west, and then 4-1 on the river. It sits on a shelf of 350-foot height limit. You can see there's 300, so it drops down in height, and then to the west, and then again down another 150 feet to the river. This is a curio collection by Hilton, not Marriott. I owe the applicant apologies. I think I may have slipped the Marriott brand in there. So again, I apologize. It's probably buried in the staff report. This is a curio collection by Hilton. 300 guest rooms, approximately 200,000 gross square feet. There's multiple amenity floors. Active street edges on all three sides. 16 floors coming in at about 190 feet. And it's right at 9-1, which is the FAR limit. And that's about 183,000 square feet. Ground floor program consists of lobby and registration, which is oriented to 2nd Avenue on the north end of the block. Restaurant bar is on 2nd, just a little further south. And then on the corner of Jefferson and 2nd is a Market Cafe entrance. And then on Columbia, around the corner, you can use my pointer tool right about here, is a pizza walk-up window. And two standard day loading stalls are oriented to the west of the frontage on Jefferson. Rooftop amenity includes a restaurant lounge and two covered terraces, 300 keys, meeting level on the second floor, seven meeting rooms, and then an expansive covered terrace as well. The DAR on December 4th, you all had comments relating to overall design cohesion. You felt that there were three buildings sort of competing for supremacy, that you sought a little more in the way of unification and cohesion in materials. The ground floor streetscape felt just a little heavy and unorganized. And also you wanted to see more information relating to the rooftop amenity and louvers. Three issues remain for your consideration, among others, that you may seek. Rooftop lighting is one of them. We have been talking with the applicant about ensuring that the recessed LED strip lights within the underside of the overhung rooftop canopy do not result in excessive ambient glare. And that's been a working topic here over the last few weeks, and the applicant is prepared to present that. Issue number two is signage. Everything over 32 square feet is not part of this design review. It will be submitted as a separate type two. There's lots of blade signage on the ground floor, which is in the packet, but it's under 32 square feet. However, the applicant does want your direction on some preliminary signage concepts. Those appear on sheet 1A02, and they've got that's also a part of their presentation today. Third issue is materials. They have simplified vastly in response to your comments. The primary upper story cladding is window wall, and it's an outside glaze pattern that's got multicolored glazing, and they've got samples over on the table. We just wanted to make sure that we had an extra crisp focus on this analysis to make sure that it was a system that was well composed as configured here, and then it was also a system of quality and permanence. Staff's recommendation is full approval at this point. As outlined in the staff report, to construct a 16-story hotel, 190 feet, with three other rooms in Portland's downtown sub-district. That's the end of staff presentation. Any questions?
Thanks, Jeff. Any questions? Okay. Maybe the applicant can make their presentation. 20 minutes max, please.
If the green light shows, you're on.
I got it.
Hello, my name is Tom Hogan of HC Architecture, the architect for the property. I'm here with Don Sawaya, Meyer Group Architects, our local representation. We're pleased to be back, and we are pleased to have had the opportunity to present to you originally at the DAR and to get the excellent discussion and feedback that we got from you at that first meeting. We took it to heart, and we kind of went back and did some soul searching on the whole design, and we think what we've done here is sort of compiled all of the comments that we heard in that original meeting and synthesized it into what I think is an even more elegant solution to the design. Wrong direction. I don't know why this is not. Just fit the page, yes. Maybe too small. So, you know, the major move here was to eliminate the whole notion of this duality of building. We had the jewel set corner, which we were emphasizing as the major corner and viewpoint opportunity for the hotel design. And we expanded that and extrapolated that expression through the whole block of the building. And I think it turns out that it becomes, I think there was one suggestion to do that, and I think this was a very successful way to create an elegant and it expands the jewel-like notion across the entire body of the building. Additionally,
I apologize for interrupting you. I wonder if we can get a focus on the
images.
The images, yeah. Thank you so much, Shelley. Sorry to interrupt you.
Not there.
I feel my eyes straining to correct. Might as well get it sharp.
There we go.
As soon as we can, there we go. We can now read the date and time in the corner, which means I think we're good. There we go. Thank you so much.
So that is the biggest move. That's what we that's one of the directions we moved in. There was the dividing element, which was a very strong vertical expression of a fin, has been reduced, and it's still in place to mark the entry of the hotel. And receiving that fin is the recess that used to travel up the entire length of or height of the building, and that's been reduced down to the 5-story height that you see here now. And what that does is it sort of really emphasizes the entry focal point of the building while not detracting from the overall, you know, jewel-like piece of the slab of this multicolored glass piece that's sandwiched between the two levels of overhang and public terrace amenity space. So the glass mosaic, if you will, the variation in color in randomness or apparent randomness of that, because there is rhyme to reason here, has been, I think the extrapolation of that is really an elegant expression. Inside of all of that is the louver that is necessary for the HVAC systems for the guest room. And I have a sample of the louver here to show you, but I think what's very successful about the randomness and the coloration and everything is the fact that the louver really gets lost in all of that translation. The system is a curtain wall. It's a false curtain wall system. The glass panel is intended to hide, it will be a spandrel that hides the slab edge. But that glass system, this louver gets glazed into the same glass system. So it's a 3/4 inch or a one-inch glass receptor that goes into the glass frame, and the louver sits basically flush with the rest of the glass. And there are details throughout the set that, talk about that. But just globally, that was one of the, bigger changes that obviously that we made. And then the next one, there was some concern about the heaviness to the base. So we, ended up studying that, and we came up with more of a colonnaded expression across the base of the building. And you might remember the right-hand side was a little heavier and different and distinct from the left-hand side. That was one of our goals, was to try to make the market more of a, separate element. But I think it still stands on its own as a separate piece by virtue of the, detail that occurs at the corner of the building. The stone that was used has been also extrapolated, and it turns the corner on both Jefferson and Columbia. And, the stone has changed also from a more rough-hewn texture to a very honed finish type product. And I have the sample here to, look at. So here's the bottom drawing is the Jefferson Street facade. The top is the Columbia. And you can see how the stone has been carried down the length of the block. The and on the Jefferson Street side, at the urging of Jeff, we added more glass. We have a kitchen element that works with the market there, and it made a lot of sense when he mentioned it to go ahead and expand it down to as far as we could on that side of the street, much like we did on the north side, which is where the the south side, which is where the pizza window is right here. So this piece of window was added. The stone was stretched in a fashion down to the edge of the street, and then likewise the loading dock. We've integrated, this is the louver system here that is tucked under the, actual spandrel of the metal panel. And then the, loading dock gate is also now a, it's a mixture of metal panel. We don't have a sample of it, but it's metal panel with little prismatic pieces of translucent glass that, really kind of animate the garage door as opposed to it just being your standard, solid garage door. And again, another suggestion by Jeff that we, thought was a benefit to the project.
Hey, one of the slides up, if I could just ask a quick question. It seems like the column line jumps on the lower part, and so the, middle line, you can see that one stone column.
Yes, here.
Jumps over 3 feet.
Yes.
And I'm looking at the floor plan, I'm wondering why,
does
that have to jump over?
It doesn't have to. There's no column on the exterior that, is represented. Well, but there is a column, but it's, I'm not so sure what's going on with that. I don't know that it have a.
I was curious if there's a reason why the line shows up in your perspective.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that, but I don't see any reason why we can't have it aligned.
Just curious.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I don't have a problem with that. So those moves along with, the, end elevation where the, glass wraps the corner, it now obviously wraps both the north and the south facades of the building. We've the cohesion amongst the elevation north to south is a lot stronger, so we have this more tripartite expression of base, body, and top, which the base is repeated in some architectural fashion at the top with the, deep overhangs. We think that the change in the materials at the base, lightening up the base, was a big improvement, and that's pretty much the big moves that we've made here since the DAR. Obviously, there's a lot more detail that's been laid over this thing since then, as you know, as you can see in some of the detail of the package. But this is an example of the window system where the louver is glazed in. So there's a panel of glass, and the louver, which is sitting over there, would be in the same plane. It doesn't look like that in elevation. The louver itself is actually a quarter panel of that whole thing. This is an example of the fin that we're proposing that gets glazed in as well. The fin, all of the materials on the building are either glass, metal, and that was another comment of the commission, simplify the range of materials that are being used in the building. So we stripped it down to the glass, metal, and stone. The metal panel is an ACM. It's a composite panel that is that has got returns on it. It's a very stout piece of material. The louver gets glazed in at this point. These are the VTAC units. Gets glazed in here, and above the louver, there's the you can see the louver here with a glazed panel above it, which would be a spandrel. And we've coordinated the color of the spandrel through the manufacturer with the color of the glass. So the coloration is all sympathetic and common to the color palette without any striking difference. And it kind of all makes sense with the whole overall rhythm of the coloration. I think at that point I would open it up for you guys to comment.
I have a question about the stone at the ground floor. What's the, do you know the dimension of the tile that you'll be using for this?
We'd like as large a format as we can get. It's likely going to be 24 by 12 in an ashlar type pattern.
Okay. And then it looks like there's some places where it's not entirely clear what's going on, but it looks like there's either some coins or there's something. I'm looking at page 3A-03.1. There's some little dashed areas or something that looks like maybe the stone is meant to bump out, or maybe it's a
well, at those points, we do intend to have, I don't know if we're looking at the same thing. You're talking about right there?
Yep.
There might be, what we're trying to do there is we're studying with a lighting consultant, a light fixture or a light source of some sort that will have an uplight that will, the intention would be to illuminate the overhanging canopy to let it glow. And also a downlight component that would illuminate the sidewalk at those spot locations.
And I mean, as it's rendered today, it looks like it's being clad in a stone veneer. Is that? But that doesn't.
I think
the
intention was that that's a recess for the fixture that has not been selected.
Okay, I got it. I just wasn't sure what was going on in the drawing there. All right. And then that's the stone there.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So there's some areas in your illustrations where it looks as if on the second floor in the open, are you using a different color stone?
No, it's all.
It's just that it's in the shade.
Yes, right. There's the shadow of the overhang that changes the color, but it's all the same color stone.
Okay. Can you go to the? Let's see, 2A-02, the lobby level plan.
This presentation doesn't have exactly what you guys have. 2A-02, yes.
You got two of them there.
It's a little blurry. It's not as sharp as one would really like, but, you know. It's also the lights are... okay. I guess the projector's still a little blurry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So... really a minor question, friendly question. This is your bar, so it'll be surrounded, I assume, by bar stools or whatever.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Have you seen the bar at the Red Star? It's called
yes.
Red Star, where they have all the bottles up against the windows?
Yes.
The potential of, you know, because I assume all the bottles are right there.
Mm-hmm. Probably.
And I understand that separation here, but I'm just wondering if this became a more colorful invitation on the street, and as people came in with their rolling suitcases and as they're waiting in line, that it doesn't extend out here, that this is a little squeezed? It's a friendly question. It has nothing to do with design review.
The imagery design is still being developed, and I have a whole presentation I can show you part of that imagery, but a big part of our idea here is that the inside of the building kind of expresses itself to the outside and the street, and vice versa. The people on the street can look in, and we want it to be attractive and inviting. I think bottles of wall against the window wall might go against that kind of idea a little bit.
It's your call. I just think, you know, you come out and there's a wall here. Plus, this looks pretty tight.
It's a wall, yes, but it's not a solid wall.
I understand.
It's visual.
Mm-hmm. But I meant it's going to be, this is a pretty tight space with people coming and going to the desk.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of, and also when you walk in, you'll be looking at the backs of people. So again, I'm just tossing it.
We're struggling with the same thing
yeah.
now. We have our interior design team is actively working
yeah.
through all of these issues. Hilton's on board, believe me. Hilton
yeah.
has got the same kind of comments and concerns that you have, so we're
yeah.
flushing all of that
okay.
stuff out as we speak.
I'd like you to talk. Oh no, you have a in the open spaces on the rooftops. You've got a Corten and wood.
No Corten.
Rusting steel.
No. Mm-mm.
What's on your deed?
It's all the same metal panel. We have 2-ton metal panel here.
Did I read it wrong?
Originally we had that. It might be a legacy from the other from the original presentation.
It's random pattern cedar and Corten steel.
What drawing are you looking at?
3A-02.
Bring your eraser.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's gone?
Yeah, there's not any Corten on
okay.
the building.
See, this is easy. Can you go to the garage and talk to us about what you have envisioned?
Wait, are you talking about this base part here? This at the very bottom of this drawing?
These two details are listed as Corten and cedar.
Okay, that is that stuff. I'm sorry. I'm thinking up on the building. You mentioned on the terrace up high.
Okay.
That little carve out there is this brown section right here, which is more of, we could consider this more of an interior space. It's not visible from the street anywhere. It's part of a no-build zone as we abut the adjacent building. And it actually is part of a two-story space that ends up, where'd I go with that? Yeah, there's a, oh no, I'm gonna get really lost here. Let me go back to that drawing. No, here it is. Right here. So if you look at the section diagram here,
mm-hmm.
this is basically a hole in the building that faces towards the back. So we're utilizing the basement level, which is below street grade, which is right here. The basement level is actually the amenity level for the hotel. It has a fitness center, spa, and it has a swimming pool. It has glass that opens up onto what we're calling a relaxation patio for the
mm-hmm.
spa and fitness. And it ends up being this two-story space that has, we wanted to bring the interior materials out to the exterior and actually express what's going on, the warmth and the colors and the material palette to this space, because we view it more as an interior type space. Than
so
an
it's
exterior.
Not within a touch zone area.
It is in a touch zones area for the guests of the hotel, but not
But it's in an interior condition?
Yeah, let me show you the plan of that.
Here's where I'm going. Corten rubs off on everybody's clothes.
Oh, I see.
And it rains
yeah.
here.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes rusty little trails everywhere that it is. So again, it's a friendly comment that.
See this zone here? This zone here, right here.
Yes.
So what happens is the first level of that down there, where people actually go up and touch, like you're concerned, is glass for the most part. And then the stuff that you're talking about is above that, right?
So get your squeegee out.
Right. And then additionally, we have what's really cool is the basement. I mean, I know we're not here to talk about that, but this wall back here from one end to the other, it's all visible from this space. So this is the relaxation patio. But this wall will be one material of stone that is lit from inside. And you'll actually, when you're down here, you're kind of in a hole, right?
Yeah.
But it's got a lot of light. So that material will continue all the way through. I don't think it's not going to be, we haven't resolved what that is yet, but we think it's some kind of natural stone, but it will have texture.
Cool.
But your comments are well taken.
Okay. So now let's move to the garage. So
there is no parking, so this is a loading zone, but it
loading
is
zone.
A garage door. Yeah.
So describe again what you're proposing for this.
Yeah, I wish I had.
Do you have a picture, a precedent, a drawing,
I don't.
A material?
I don't, but it's a you know, it's imagine a perforated garage door. It's a roll-up door, okay?
Uh-huh.
So imagine a perforated door that has these little diamond-shaped cutouts in it. Half of them are metal to match the coloration of what else is going on in the metal of the glass at the base. And half of them are a translucent piece of glass, actually. So there is a pattern of interest as opposed to just all solid. And we've heard before from at the pre-app meeting that we wouldn't want to have anything that's too transparent looking into a loading dock. So we thought, instead of what we were shown prior to this, which was a solid door, we had this kind of a fabric almost door. So in this regard, it does allow light from inside out to the sidewalk at night, and it creates an interesting pattern.
So is the black represented in this graphic?
Yeah, this it's a pattern. It's probably a diamond shape like this, okay? And there's, you know, it's alternating glass and metal.
And I read that as punched opening black.
It is. It's part. The black part is metal.
Okay.
And the light part is glass, translucent glass.
Gotcha.
The coloration of the door should match the aluminum frame of the glass that's adjacent to it.
You get more details.
And I think we lose it, but let me see if I can do that. Yeah, it's pretty high resolution. There you go.
So where the black is would be the glass.
I'm sorry, it is backwards, yeah. Black is glass.
Black.
Yes.
It's not a punch.
It's not a punch you can see through, right.
So it's a pretty standard metal door.
Fairly standard.
The glass.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit more than standard, but yes, it's a coiling, overhead coiling door. They have a lot of garage doors that are, you've seen garage doors with translucent glass, come on.
No, I'm just saying that.
This pattern? Yeah.
This is not standard, it is uncommon.
It is uncommon.
We haven't seen
a
lot of this around here.
But, you know, one of the things we've tried to do here is make sure that all the louver systems on the building are integrated well within the architecture. So this is one area, this loading area that has the generator, it has a lot of need for exhaust and intake. We have a laundry that's below that has exhaust and intake, kitchens. All that stuff is being zoned in that area right above the door frame there. It is high resolution.
You want to show us the lights on the roof?
Sure.
That was mentioned by staff.
Sure. You know, the object of that, let me show you that night rendering first. The object, and I think it's your desire to, as well, is to not have a repeat of the green building over here that has the tracer lights around the perimeter. That's something nobody wants. So what we're proposing is to do a cove that's at the top, and it's it runs the perimeter of the building. I wish there was an iPad. You could just kind of zoom in. So the cove, the light is intended to be recessed into the structure of the roof canopy, and it shines back at the windows of the glass, but it strafes the horizontal surface of the, you can turn off the lights, maybe that would help. Thank you. The idea is to strafe the underside of the overhang so that it glows as we showed here in the rendering. And there's an internal one that repeats on either terrace side there. It's a little square that shape that does the same thing. So it's kind of a ziggurat. It kind of steps back up, and it has the same effect. And the idea is just to have it like it's rendered here, is to glow. It's not intended to be a look-at-me edge. We don't want to see the light source. So we're working with a lighting designer currently to make sure that both of those ends are met, because the cove has to be deep enough such that the people inside the building aren't seeing the light source either. That's a big concern of ours as well. So the light fixture itself is going to be oriented, and you know, with LEDs anymore, you can really do some spectacular things. So here, that is that fin. The light fixture is here. It's an L-shaped box fixture that casts the light out this way. And actually, one of the latest things from our lighting designer is that she's concerned that the fixture is too close to the metal panel and it might create what we don't want, which is a hot spot. So we're gonna actually increase this dimension over here, is 1'4", to whatever works best for that situation. So that's gonna drop, and the fixture will be dropped accordingly with it, but you still don't see it from the street. but it'll help alleviate the hotspot that she points out would be a problem with this scenario.
And that was approximately 6 inches?
6 inches or so, yes, right. So that 1 foot four would be a 1 foot 10, for instance.
I'm done.
I just, can you go to the would you mind going to the close-up of the color pattern on the facade and maybe just talk, yeah. And just speak to those colors and what the arrangement is overall and how you guys got there.
Well, I mean, it was all about randomness, but rhyme to the reason, that sort of thing. I mean, we didn't want to have too many colors interjected in it, so we picked the three that we got, plus the white, which is plus the spandrel complementary colors. So you're seeing more colors, slightly different colors, like the spandrel, and if you look at the samples, you'll see what I mean. But they're of the same family, but when it's opacified, it takes on a slightly different hue. And it will open up that window, and you can see what we're talking about. But there's really only three expressions of glass. This is actually the inset panel of where the fin is. So it's got a totally different expression at that inset. We wanted that to be calm and actually read as a pushback to give us more of the illusion of depth at that point. So it is contrasting with the rest of the building. But there's really only three patterns of glass. You have this arrangement. We have louver, this color, blue, and then lighter blue. Then you have this pattern, which is louver color, then a full two panels of glass with one color, a full two spandrels. That's not even spandrel, but a full two panels of the darker color, then the spandrel of the white impression. And then the spandrel alternates, as you see here, so that the striping, the horizontal striping, isn't a contiguous type stripe around the building. It's also alternate and starts to play in with the patterning of the building. Let's see if you can see that.
So that's not spandrel, that's actually, you'd be seeing the colors from the hotel room?
Yes.
So you'd be seeing the different colors of glass in the
hotel room? From within the room, yes. Two different colors, each. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Every hotel room would have the same?
Every hotel room would have two different colors, yes, or three, depending. One's clear, it's not a color, and the two blues.
And none of these are operable, correct?
No.
You couldn't convince anybody to make these operable?
No. All right. Now, you know, operable windows in a hotel are great in a resort location, but in an urban area, it's very hard on the, you know, the climate control condition of the hotel. And there's liability issues. There's all sorts of things like that.
I still don't understand that.
I bet you it's hardest on the insurance policy.
Well, you know, one thing
we
have to do.
Chuck stuff from windows and
throwing stuff out.
Yeah, but some people, you know what, the hotel companies, the ones that ask us to have operable windows, some of them do. Some Hilton brands actually ask you to do that. But we have to put a 4-inch limiter on it.
Sure. Yep.
So what do you do? You get a breath of fresh air and that's it. You know, it's kind of silly.
Right.
So anymore, you'll see not a whole lot of these in urban areas, but like, you know, resort areas or places where balconies and views are like paramount, you'll have those all over the place.
And the recess slot where the sign is going up, is that lit? Are those hotel rooms?
No.
So there's no lighting on that side?
No.
And then the pilaster width, it looks like about 4.5 feet, maybe?
The what width?
The pilasters, the stone columns.
Yeah, we haven't dimensioned any yet. Can't recall. It's about that dimension, though.
I'm curious. How did you come to be that width?
Well, first of all, the columns are a certain size, right? Here's one of them, and here's another. I think there's the discussion we had at the DAR, which was had to do with we were struggling with the weight of the stone at the base of the building, and so it was a combination of how do we achieve a little bit of both. You have to have enough sturdiness there. It's a two-story expression of stone that is actually holding up this glass jewel box. So there has to be enough sturdiness to feel like it's supporting the mass of the 14 stories above it. It had to have enough presence on the street to create a rhythm. And I think this was just a happy medium of, you know, size versus of solid versus glass. And that rhythm seemed to pull out well. It works well with the bay spacing of the hotel, obviously. But I think to make them skinnier or fatter kind of removes the composition a bit. Now, at the top, they get thinner, of course, because the expression at the top is, and it's not stone at the top. It's going back to the metal column wraps. But they get thinner, of course, because it's not as important a supporting element as the base of the building.
Okay. Is the pizza place already a tenant? Is that why you're already going
there? No. It's going to be operated. All the restaurant facilities in the building are operated by the same company. It's just going to be an outlet, a pizza window outlet. It'll be branded as a pizza company, but it's operated internally, so okay. It's not leased out. It was an idea. It was a way to turn what is normally the backside of a hotel, back of house space, that we're half a block development. So some of that bad stuff has to be on street frontage. This was a way to turn the back of the house into an opportunity. We put glass all in the kitchen so that it's going to be a part of the kitchen that's not the junky part of the kitchen. The idea is that it's something interesting visually. So the idea of the pizza window came up. It's just a place where that's more of part of the neighborhood connectivity thing. It's a walk up, literally a dial it up, and you walk up and pick up your pizza.
And then I think we spoke about this last time, but can you remind me, are you guys doing LEED or anything, or any energy certification on this?
We're not doing LEED, but there are a number of things that we are doing in just in the basic development of the design to lean towards sustainability practices. And a lot of that has to do with specification materials, the HVAC systems, LED lighting, those sorts of things. But we're not trying to get to a LEED certified level.
So nothing above code, essentially, or code?
There are a few things above code. I mean, LED lighting is not code, but by the time you get into it and you try to, make the calcs work out, LED lighting is one of the easier ways to get there. So, yeah.
So the whole project is LED lighting?
For the most part, yes. There's going to be places where there's not LED lighting, but back of the house, usually some places in the guest room will still use halogen lights, but for the most part, the fully functional mounted into the building fixtures will be LED.
Okay, any more questions? Ted or Gwen? No. And there's no one here, I assume, to speak in opposition or support of the project? Okay. Did you have something else, Gwen, you were thinking about?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll close the record then, and we can have a discussion here.
You think the pilasters are too thick?
I'd say, if anything,
3 inches. That's where I was going.
That's for. Exactly.
What was that? What was that? I didn't hear that.
Oh, we were just talking. Tad and I were talking about the pilasters. My feeling is just a little too thick. Too wide.
Too heavy?
Too heavy. Still, I as you pointed out, the top ones just seem light to me, and I think the bottom one, and Gwen pointed out earlier about that stone choice is quite busy. I don't know when it's all put together. She has an example.
Yeah, that's right. That wasn't on the record. I was just talking to you over there.
But I do agree. So at 4.5 feet wide, I think we could knock off a few inches and just lighten up that base, and I think it would be successful. So.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if it's recalling to mind the, there's a boutique, kind of old-time boutique, it's been important for a long time, called the Mercantile, and I think it's in the Metalwork building. If it's not, it's a neighbor of,
it's on
Alder.
Alder and Park.
And Park, yeah.
Across the street.
Okay, right, and it was covered in a tile product like that, or a tileized stone,
yes.
And the stone pattern is pretty busy.
Yes.
And it's just... It looks
like bathroom tile.
Yeah, it does.
No,
exactly. And it does, unfortunately. And I think it's what's too bad about it is that it's a nice, rich material. But when it's that many of those tiles on a facade that large, it calls to mind whether or not that's the right material for that place.
Plus, they on that building, they tried to add some depth and it's like
yeah.
Thick.
Yeah, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
So that's why I was a little leery about the niches or the things that were popping out. And I should say, talking about this kind of stuff, it means that you've come a long way from where you were. I think you guys have done a lot to clean up the design and to render it more coherent. Now we're starting to talk about, like, oh, is that the stuff in the touch zone, and so this is a good sign. But yeah, I have some concerns about especially when you take as a whole, the kind of number of colors that they're using in the random pattern up above, and then you bring it down to that stone pattern. I think it's going to be just a lot of busy.
Is it thought that the stone might work, but the patterning of that stone needs to stay relatively calm, relatively sedate?
I think when you get a lot of that stuff in a big field and those 12x24.
If there's a variety, if they're consistent, maybe it's not such a problem.
Right. I think a consistent, more uniform stone would be better. Well, I think the dimensions are too small, too. Yeah. I mean, again, I'm looking at, so it's like a 27-foot column, right? And that means
it's more than that.
More than that?
Yeah.
Taller? That was, yeah.
It's like 24, 25 feet a year.
Oh, okay, right. So another, so that's, at a 12-foot, that's 30 of those guys marching up the column, and when you add the pattern, and it gets...
And so is the idea to increase the size of those, or do you make, is it just, it's not a random pattern of the tile, it's just stacked tile pattern, is that...
Well, it's...
You find the dimension of the dimension of the column that works, and then it's just basically two... Stone.
Something. Stone. Yeah. There's a layer of kind of clean that could still be added there. I mean, it's a nice high quality material. I'm not complaining about the material. I think it's the pattern with the random pattern with another random pattern on top. It's going to be just a lot of stuff.
For me, I see the key as the upper part of the building is. Got some boogie woogie to it.
Yeah, it's totally true.
And when it comes down to the ground floor, it can't be bland. It shouldn't have boogie woogie. But how are the edges treated? How are the joints treated? How many stones do you get per column? What's the base? Is there, is there a kick to it? I don't know. Is there a groove through it? But you've spent so much attention to detail on the upper piece. Some of that thinking should come down and not compete with it. But in my mind, transfer into the new material. In other words, what do you do with stone to make it human scaled, rich, rather than just like a shower?
Well, and there's stuff that can be, and you can see that there's like a reveal or is that a reveal?
It's a setback. It's about a 4-inch setback.
Yeah. Yeah. So
there's detail there, and the thing about it is when you're at grade level, you want some of this activity though. If it's all I worry about it being a stacked stone kind of effect. I hear what you're saying about the model, kind of craziness about that. But at some level, at street level, I like that kind of interest.
Sure.
And remember, too, what we're seeing here is a very opaque you pointed out in the last one that the rendering didn't do them any good. This is not doing us any good at street level because you won't see the street level like this, the glass, right?
Yeah.
What you're seeing is the bottles and things that you're talking about, the people, the furniture, the warmth of the corten and the wood that's going to be inside on the ceilings. I mean, there's a lot more activity going on here visually than what we're able to see in this rendering.
Right. Now, and I'm not entirely sure about this particular image, but I think in some of the renderings, and I could be wrong, but I was counting up the tiles, and I think it actually you'll have more of those tiles than you're showing, I think.
This is a rendered elevation, obviously.
Right. Right, and so that's what I'm saying, is that I think you're right, the rendering isn't telling us what it's going to look like, but I think it's actually going to be busier.
I don't know that I have a rendering that is an architectural drawing. So here you see some of the stone in a true fashion of the way it would be on the columns going up.
But, we're seeing the edge of that stone veneer.
And it's wrapping, and then
it's wrapping,
got this storage kind of...
No, it's a true dimensional stone, hung on clips type of product.
Well, I wouldn't presume to tell you how to do it differently exactly. But it's, there's some things that you could consider. One it's sort of like one thing needs to get taken away. Either it's less of a modeled appearance on the stone. Maybe the stone color ties more closely to the cooler palette up above, gets less warm. I don't know.
We had an alternative stone that I didn't bring, but it was in a grayer tone. It was more sympathetic to the, and we all thought that that was too much of the gray.
Sure. Okay. So again, I don't know. Having been in the room when you guys were having that conversation, I don't know that I have the answer here. Like, I know exactly how to solve this problem, but I do see what's happening with the patterning of that stone, the quantity, the.
I think Mr. Heron has something to add to this conversation.
Sorry, point of order. The record's closed. This sounds like a question and answer session. So just in terms of timeliness, did I hear you close the record?
I think we did close the record.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So if we want to open it back up and engage the applicant and have a little back and forth.
I'd like to have a discussion among ourselves.
Yeah, that's okay. That's where I'm having.
Close for a minute.
Yes.
Yes, what are you thinking?
Oh, I'm just in general. You know, the detailing on the stone, you know, its dimensions and.
It's interesting. My feeling is that I think it could be a little narrower and be larger pieces.
Larger pieces.
Kind of more mimic the paneling of the windows and above, mm-hmm. kind of that play. I mean, they don't have to match that pattern, but if they were, you know, 2 feet by 3 feet, I mean, get kind of remove a lot of that joints and slender them up, I think it would be. In keeping with the balance of the building, both on the ground floor and in the upper floor arrangement. So I think that would help. That's pretty big, isn't it?
Yeah.
So that would be my, and again, just to remove the amount of grout joints, you know.
Yeah.
That's what I'm hearing
to
say.
Yeah, a larger scale. So can you zoom in? Yeah, how wide is it?
So this is a 3 foot 2 inch dimension. I was wrong with the panel size. This is 3 foot, almost 3 foot 4. So the column actually goes, you know, it's 5 foot 6 plus the little setback. So it's 6 foot, 7 foot 2.
Oof. So yeah, I think those can get considerably narrower. I was guessing they were 4.5 feet.
Yeah.
7 foot 2 could.
Now this one, I apologize. I don't think we have. Here's one that's more standard. This one has to do with the front door that I was just showing you, but this one over here on the right here. I can't zoom in on this.
So maybe the upstairs ones are 4.5 feet, and these are 7.5 or something.
Yeah, this one's. Sorry about that.
It's like the pilasters on the John Carroll, the Gregory.
Oh.
You know,
yeah.
They're just
very big.
Make a person feel like a cartoon.
So this is I apologize. This is more of a standard column. The other one I was showing is flanking the door and the entry canopy.
So it looks like 6 feet overall.
What's so yeah, about 6 feet overall. It's 4.8.
Wow.
So I really think 4 feet would work, you know, like 4.5 feet.
Really?
But that would be hard to, I mean, you kind of have to sketch it to see it, but it would be hard. I think
so if we do that, do you want to see just then just one stone stacking for that dimension, or would it be?
Tim's point for 1 second, let's record
close. Sorry, yeah.
Hear what you guys think about that width. It's hard to decide here without kind of sketching and seeing it. But I just my first impression when opening the set, and I agree with Gwen, it's a much improved set, and we're down to the kind of finer details. Is one, the few of those things weren't aligned, so I think we can work with the team to align them. And two, just lighten them up, because I think it actually works as light as they are on the top floor. I think you could almost go that light on the ground floor, but I can see that development team's desire to beefing them up a bit for the ground floor. So, what do you guys think?
Right, you know, the conflict I'm seeing is that it's this. There's almost too many contrasts, you know, warm, thick, heavy stone, topped by lighter glass, not all. You know, there's some coming together that's not happening, and that is what I'm looking for. I just feel like it. Wants to carry that stone, wants to carry a big brick building on top of it, and it doesn't have that on top of it. So, you know, I'm desirous of seeing some a little bit more tying together between those two. And that's basically it. I mean, I just feel like, oh man, you're getting really close, but there's just, and then I, like I said, I've seen that kind of material rendered over that kind of scale downtown, and it just ends up looking busy and like a bathtub, as you said.
Well, in the way we're seeing them, there's a, you're going to see that half-inch stone, right?
On the side.
Right, because there's a place where it's...
Where they
it's,
butt.
Yeah.
So it's mm-hmm. like, oh, no, it's not stone. It's really tile.
Right. It's, and it's a nice skin. It's not to say that, but it is. I mean, there's it's the... It's, you know, these big panels of it, and then these little panels covering the little, you know, it's gonna read funny.
It would be interesting. It's just precast where there is no, you don't see the side of it, and there's just a horizontal band, so mm-hmm. there's no vertical mullion, there's no vertical grout joints, and it's just, then you could set that horizontal band to match your mullions or, you know, going up. Then mm-hmm. it would be quiet down, pick up the rest of the language. It could be a uniform color, and then let the expression of the all the windows above kind of fill in the conversation. I think that would be interesting. And I just drawing on the thing, I really think you could take away the 2 6-inch bands and still be okay at the 4 foot, look like 4 foot 6.
It's 4 foot 8.
4 foot 8, four foot eight or even 4 foot 6. I think that works well on the just sketching it. Still leaves the upper at the half of that. Hey, what about other issues, you guys? Or other
garage,
the garage door? What are you thinking, Ted?
Well, the door that they're showing is pretty much just a standard off-the-shelf door. I don't know that the little glass pieces are going to do anything for it. You know, it might be better to have a nicer door rather than go with a kind of standard door, a standard off-the-shelf door. But, you know, the one that's really nice is, and I sent it to Mr. Heron once when we were looking at the Ankrum Moisson project on downtown, you know, it, which is frosted glass garage door with a black... frame, I think. Boy, I don't know where that picture is. The fact that this door is that metally, you know, it's got no dimension, basically. We've all seen it. It's more of a back of house door, but this is on the street. I'm wondering if the door could be upgraded. The glass, I don't think the glass is going to do anything for it. But I don't know if anyone else feels the same way.
Anybody else thinking that?
I guess a question for when we open the record back up is if the door was open, if it was part of the mechanical venting of the... Oh, there's no parking.
Right.
Right, so there's no need for that. Oh, okay, that's a different thing.
How about anything else that we're thinking?
Well, we're going to talk about the light, sort of our sense of the hat. Wow. It was brought up by the planner, if we want to talk about it. If we have an issue with how it's rendered and the idea behind it and all of that.
I'm okay with it. I think everybody's speaking about, that's a nice story, what the applicant spoke of about their attention and the lighting. Designer wanting to get in on that and make that a little deeper to not worry about hot spots. That shows to me attention to detail that will resolve it well. So
okay. Yeah. I mean, if it were me, I would probably do one less row of lights, but I, you know, that's what we're getting into those should the balconies be red or orange kind of comment. So, you know. Yeah.
And anything else? Gwen or Tad, any other issues? And we could.
It's a handsome building.
We could open back up and just ask those couple questions.
Yeah.
All right, opening it back up just to get your guys' thoughts on the making the columns potentially more slender.
I don't have a problem with that, Commissioner Kaiser. We felt that this proportion worked best, but we shrank it, and your dimension was about a 4 foot 6 inch dimension. If we took those little pieces off. The ends there, is that?
Doing just sketches on the, it seems to, even just taking those off makes it feel lighter at the base.
Okay. But could you just shrink it so that you still have that relief and definition on the edges with the two little pieces on the side, but it's just not as...
If you...
Because I think this is a nice, it's a nice detail. It goes towards, you know, it's not just a flat stone face. Is that possible?
That's possible, sure, yes.
And what about the idea of precast, just wraps for that, those columns, as opposed
to... We really never considered precast. We always thought stone is an elevated material, especially to touch and feel. And we'd have to talk about that. I think ownership's final.
Cheaper material. You can have an owner club and say, well, if you really must force me to use a cheaper material, then I guess I will.
I mean, I think I agree with Tad that the corners, you know, on precast look nicer and it feels more stable. And again, I think it feels more in the language of the balance of the building as precast, because then you're not having that, the only kind of anomaly of a tile. You're kind of more back into these sectional pieces.
You should clarify what it is that's there, because you can see from the drawing, you know, tiles are 1/4 3/8 inch.
Sure.
This is a 2-inch. 2.5-inch piece of stone.
Yeah,
it also could be fabricated to have a continuous corner that doesn't have a
I think what we can do.
I'm saying that because it is hewn stone, you can do a.
You can have a return
L-shaped
piece for the corners and have the return be like that.
I mean, that'd be fantastic if you could do it rather than having to layer tile in.
Yeah, I mean, but the only thing I was thinking with precast, I agree with Gwen that I think the kind of the oddity of the natural patterning of this stone, I think, is in discord with the balance of the building. So I say precast kind of quiets that down, brings it back in, and then lets the glass be the expressive part, which is pretty expressive. So I think there's an argument now between the glass and the model marble.
It's two very random patterns coming together in a way that's a little
with only the awning separating them. So I think if you let those columns be quiet up to that datum point, then let the glass be expressive, that would work better, in my opinion. And again, I think to Gwen's point, we're talking about pretty minutia stuff, but because the project is come so far along, but I think that would be a great improvement, in my opinion.
And there's a lot of subtle kind of warmth that you can get in the touch zone with still a very calm.
Well,
you know,
precast, you know, you can. You know, coat it with something. You can do all kinds of things that make it reflect light, or blast it and get a little texture.
Yeah,
I mean, there's a thousand things that, not just flat. You know,
right.
But I think it's a good way to go.
And then you could make kind of work with a joint pattern in your existing mullion pattern of those storefront system. Then that would all kind of
Have it kind of regulate with the horizontal lines.
That would hold the room together.
Interesting. Okay, garage door. The inherent problem with an overhead coiling door is the dimension of the radius of the coil. The door you showed us is a garage door, and it could be used here. It cuts down on the usable height inside the space. I mean, the clearance here is all about how big a truck can fit underneath here. So the idea is that we were using something that is coilable, as opposed to big panels that roll up and stay in that same form. This glass could be colored. Yes. I think this is an elevated door. I think we've got to maybe get you a sample of it. But it's an elevated door product, in my opinion, just simply because of the way the glass works with this. But the material is not like your standard little roll-up coiling door, where there is those little ribs that you see going through. It's a little more substantial than that. So, and like Don says, yes, you can provide colored glass if that's, I don't know if I want to draw too much attention to the loading dock. So this was just a way to, the one we had rendered previous, I think that's what Jeff was reacting to, the one that we had previous was your standard door. This we felt was an elevated selection compared to what we had. So within the family of things that are out there with regard to a coiling door, this is probably one of the better opportunities if you want to introduce this kind of, you know, textured kind of feel there. The next level would be to do an overhead garage door that you showed us.
Is a question for Jeff. If there was the hotel logo on the door, would that count as signage?
Yeah.
I mean, personally, I don't mind the door if it was glass. I think that's, that is kind of a cool patterned door on this building, but that's, if you...
I'm fine.
You okay with it? Okay, and this, and only to be clear about what I was, if these could all start getting high.
Yes, I just see that.
Off by 4 inches.
Yes. I think we could actually make the one that you're pointing to the same width.
Yeah,
even.
I would
yes.
Plan
yes.
For that room.
Right.
The column flip back here, if you just get that column over, it can
yeah.
line up and then slender up, and then this elevation works a lot better.
Yes, I agree.
Anything else, team?
I'm good.
No. All right, I think we could get you guys there today.
Can we? Are we? Mr. Heron, are you feeling this is a conditionable conversation?
I'm interested to hear how you craft it.
Well, I mean, I guess, and I'm all for not like packing our agenda with multiple coming back, but I guess I feel like we need to say. We're going to have to say, like, was it precast concrete, you know, instead of saying, well, it could be done in a stone if, you know. And so, again, it's that whole same conversation we just had about the other case. Like,
so can you, verbalize design criteria for that precast?
You know, with how far this project has come, I'd be comfortable with the development team kind of taking it with just some simple guidelines around precast uniform concrete with joints to be described by the design team. And the pilaster slendered up a minimum of a foot, something along that line, you know.
Okay.
And then aligned one with the other.
Okay.
Something like that, I think, would get everybody there.
Okay.
So someone, any comments before we, any closing comments about the project? So someone maybe get a motion in that direction, that'd be great.
When's writing?
Oh, great.
I assume not a grocery list.
Lemons, yeah.
Since Gwen's writing, could you articulate the garage door condition again, or is that?
We're fine. We're fine with as proposed with glass pieces set into it.
Okay. I'll have to take a stab at this with my microphone. All right. I make a motion to approve the staff report as written, but with two conditions. One, that the pilasters at the ground floor be made more slender by a minimum of a foot in their dimension, and that the stone veneer material be changed to a precast concrete panel with consideration for lining the seams of that panel product up with the mullions of the windows that they enclose.
And then maybe a bit about aligning all the pilasters.
And the third condition of making sure that the pilasters from the ground floor to the second floor align.
On the north facade.
On the north facade. He's helping me write my motion here. Is there anything else? Okay. Someone asked a second.
I'll second.
Okay.
If you'd call Bolo.
Aye.
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 Aye. Thank you. Thanks, you guys.
Thank you.
And I just think, look, I just realized what happened with this column alignment. Jeff made this comment to include stone
alignment.
Include, yeah, right.